Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from NASCAT University. NASCAT University. This episode is called Car Park.
I have to restrain myself from lingering there. My car pipes pumping yellow smoke gently into the gravel.
The car
park. The car park is where I can finally take a break.
The car park.
Like I'm a balloon, getting inflated and inflated until whoosh, I can breathe. The car park is just where I go every single day. It anchors me to me. It anchors me to me. I belong to it in a sense. I have to chart my obsession with the car park. I have to traverse its landscape, the pungent scent of gasoline and road stills, chalky dust. I have to go back there. I have to read the literature of the car park. If I don't study it, then I'll take a photo of every novel I own and tell the story of each to the radio. Because if I do not find out why the car park holds me, why the car park holds me, why my charting holds me and I glance at it and my pictures of the car park are in my home, I traverse its landscape and the pungent scent of gasoline and road still chalky dust is all I can smell anymore, and I read the literature of the car park, and the literature of the car park is all pointing at one thing, that I can just take my battery out and I can just sink into my car. I can just sink into my car. And if I become my car becomes the car park, then I could glimpse at the secret conversations that the other motorists hold. And the literature of the car park is all about entering and exiting. But the secret is, if you don't exit, then you don't need to have a conversation with the man in the booth. And if you don't have a conversation with the man in the booth, then the man never smiles, will never have to gaze his unblinking eyes at you. And when he happens to stare and he never smiles, you don't have to feel like you're cheating yourself out of the only experience in your life that has ever meant anything to you, ever.
I am a car. because when I walk backwards, I consider it backing up. I am a car. I should be able to see backwards. I am a car because I've got my motors running.
No, that's not it. No, that's not it. No, no, I'm saying it all wrong. It's not that I belong there. But when I'm away from it, I can feel myself recollecting the smell.
Car park, car park, car.
The sound.
Car park, car park, car park.
Crumble and car creak, doors shutting and pushing out air. All smooth, all smooth. Doors shutting and pushing out air, all smooth. The signs, all practical and sensible, not aggressive to me, not wanting more than I can give.
Car park, car
that's always
park,
the case.
Car park, car park,
they're always on me.
Park.
On me.
They're always on me.
On me.
They're always on me.
They're always on me. On me.
They're
on
me.
On me. They're always on me, on me, on me. To give more and more of myself until there's... When I'm in the car park, I am offline. I pull out my phone's battery. They make it so hard. It feels like I'm diffusing a bomb. Once that's sorted, I'm no longer connected, and rather than feeling lonely, I feel liberated. The car park. One way in, one way out. A little wooden board keeping everyone safe and sound. A small hut, sentry duty.
A small hut.
A small hut.
A small hut.
A sentry. I wonder what you would get if you added up all the time you spent here. How much time your car spends here? Funny how your car and you become part of one. People can become part of you. Places can become part of you. The car park. I have to stop myself from slowing down when I drive by. My car makes so much noise when it's running, so much nicer when it's stopped, but ready to work. Full can of gas inside, and then you can wait. The
car park is where it can finally breathe. All of me can just let loose. I can sink deep into my chair. The car park is where I go every single day. It anchors me to me. I belong to it, in a sense.
I remember the first time that someone invited me to the car park. I didn't really identify as like one of the cool kids at the time, so it seemed like this really exciting thing that I'd heard about, but I didn't really understand. Tanya and Eric and a couple of those other kids from 12B were hanging out outside the cafeteria at lunchtime, and they said, "Hey, we're going over to the parking lot, to the car park. You want to join?" And that's all it took. I was hooked right there and then. Car park, car park, car park, car park, car park, car park.
The car park.
Oh man, yeah. Jeez, car park. I haven't thought about that place in a while. I mean, it was great. You could go, you could take your car, you could let it off leash, just like run around with the other cars. It was great, and then that gave you a chance to talk with, you know, people or whatever, cars doing their thing, you know, playing some frisbee, going through some pylons or whatever, you know, car wash. It was all there. It was great. It was a real hangout spot for sure. Real, real hangout spot for sure. And then sometimes, you know, the kids from the school would come around and they'd, you know, they'd play with the cars, you know, sometimes like change a muffler or whatever, you know, get under the hood. And yeah, memories at the car park. Good times. Good times.
Car.
Car
park.
Car park.
Car
park.
Car
park. Car park.
Car
park. Car park.
Car
park.
Park.
It began with my interest in fishing with my father, as followed a close call. I had a car accident and almost didn't make it. And when I pulled through, my dad and I decided that we would take up our old favorite hobby again. So we took up fishing, and we also had a boat, and we would fish from the boat. And you know, carp aren't typically the kind of fish that you aim to catch, but we did, and we filled the boat, and we said, "Hey, look, it's a carp ark."
Park.
Years ago, I did a radio documentary about a Southern Baptist church who had decided to hold all of their ceremonial aspects of their religion in a car park. It was a four-story concrete park next to the church. And they were convinced that the structure somehow allowed for there to be a spiritual connection between the family unit, which would each family unit would be in a car, and then the congregation would be sort of organized in a kind of a parallel fashion, the way that car parks tend to organize cars. And they felt that this was a very good evocation of the structure of families and congregations and how they should be arranged and how they should be organized. I forget exactly how the floors were divided, but that had a lot to do with relationships of different families to the history of the church.
I started running probably in my early 20s, and I would run usually at nighttime. I would run after working for the full day, and I did that for many years, maybe 5, maybe 10 years. And what I kept doing was I would run around the city and then stop at the hospital parking lot and stretch next to the this telephone pole in the middle of the parking lot that was illuminated, and just catch my breath, just sweat, feel the summer heat and the humidity. Got some strange looks from people as they were walking past. And yeah, that's really the only thing I can remember is just stretching in that parking lot.
I used to spend a lot of time online, on the net, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I'd be on the forums, and that's how I came across this whole car park thing. In my region, we referred to it as parking lot, but I quickly came to learn that in the world at large, it was better known as car park. Now, at first, I was more on the fringes, an observer, just reading about people's experiences, researching, really, I don't know, I got sucked into this world. People would post questions, they'd ask for advice, people would offer unsolicited advice. And you know, at first, it's pretty impenetrable, this thing. You have no idea what they're talking about. It sounds unfathomable, but the more you get used to the terms that they use, like car terms, automotive terms, but in different contexts, the more you get acclimatized to those types of word interactions, the more it starts to make sense. But that's just the theory of car park. When I actually had a chance to be there in person, it was a totally different story, a total other world. Car park. Park your car. Car
park.
In the car park.
Park.
In the
car
park.
Car.
What did you say? Car. Where did you go?
Car.
When?
Car.
Who?
Car.
Where? Why?
Car.
Wow.
Car
park.
A car park is basically a stationary parade.
Car? Carl? Carlos? Charles?
The first and only time I was ever behind the wheel of a car was my friend Sylvain Coderre's Jeep. I must have been 19 or 20 years old. It was a very small parking lot behind the gas station that I worked, and it was a standard Jeep. And there wasn't very much space. There was a pretty big drop-off and trees. There was a lake, a pond nearby that it was overgrown from vegetation because we would dump the windshield washing fluid into the gravel. That's what we were trained to do. Just dump that right into the gravel. And obviously there was some consequences of that. So it was behind the wheel in that small parking lot, and it wasn't big enough. There was a lot of cars in the parking lot. It's a standard. Tried to play with the clutch there, that other pedal on the ground in front of you. I don't know if that's even called a clutch. And yeah, the first and last time behind a wheel in that parking lot behind the gas station of the commercial road surrounded by the suburbs.
Car park, 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 car park,
car park,
car park, car park,
car park,
car park,
car park, car park. I have to restrain myself from going there. I have to be there, though. Every day my car pipes pumping yellow smoke gently into the gravel, into the skin of the world. And the car park. The car park is where it can finally break. Like I'm a set of batteries that have been so old and they've burst, and the acid is slowly ebbing out into a powder and melting the casing, and soon the batteries will fall to the ground. The car park is just where I go every single day. It anchors me to me. I belong to it in a sense. But when I'm away from myself, I feel myself recollecting the smell, the sounds, the crumble and the car creak, door shutting and pushing out air, the screaming woman at night, the fact that everyone goes there and stays, the signs of all practical aid, unsensible, unentering, no one knows we're here, no, not aggressive to me, not wanting more than I can just give, and I feel like I'm feeding something larger. That's always the case, they're always on me to give more, and I can't give anything because there's nothing left. When I'm on in the car park, I'm offline. And that's what I try to explain to them. I pull out my phone's batteries, I pull out my phone, I pull out my shoes, and I turn on the engine, and I just wait. And it may take so long, but it feels like I'm falling asleep. It feels like I'm falling asleep, and I'm defusing a bomb. And once that's sorted, I'm no longer connected, and rather than feeling alone, I feel like I'm feeding something. I feel like I'm feeding something under my skin. The car park is one way in, one way out. A little wooden board keeping everybody safe. A small hut, a sentry. I would give anything to know. I would give anything to know if you added up all the time you spent here, how much time your car spends here. But even how the car park could become part of you.
Obsession with the car park.
I can traverse its landscape, the pungent scent of gasoline and road stales, chalky dust. I read the literature of the car park. I'm not uneducated in the ways of the car park. If only I could glimpse the secret conversations the other motorists held with the man in the booth. The man that never smiles, his eyes blinking like triggers, fluttering as the trees are up with birds and shell cases fling metallic and light into the gloomy ghost grass. I just want to know what he's saying to them, but I can't get out of my car, and I can't find the way to turn my car back on, and I can't find out what's happened to my phone, and I'm so hungry now.
When we say parking lot, we don't mean a parking lot where people park their cars. Parking lot is, of course, code. It's a code. And once you dig down, you listen very carefully, it's fairly easy to understand what this code is actually about.
What did you say? Where did you go? When? Who? Where? Why? How? What for?
Car park, car park, car park, car park, car park, car park, car park.
So, you know, sometimes you might see on the pillars in the car park A1, A7, it's gridded, absolutely. But really, it is a symbol or a code, an algorithm. You know, an enigma that needs to be sorted out, and it's used by the Illuminati, actually. And they have a series of cars that they will park in various car parks in various sections, and you know, from that, someone will say like, okay, it's actually funny. They use geometros
you know, really unassuming vehicles, not something you would associate with such a powerful organization, but you go in and you say, okay, you use a drone and you find all the geos, and then next thing you know, that's, you know, how they communicate KFC's seven secret spices.
Car park, 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 parked car. Car park.
I worked nights and I worked days, just 12-hour shifts, night shift, day shift, and I had to walk along this path that went along the harbor, and one side was parking lots behind abandoned warehouses, and you'd see cars and there'd be like one or two people sitting in them, like in a truck or in a car, and they'd just be sitting there doing, you know, just staring at you as you walk by, and you'd walk and you'd be like, oh right, they're smoking cannabis, they're getting high. And you'd walk on, you'd see other cars, and it'd be sunset, and you'd be going to work, and it would suck. And the other people would be in their cars. Sometimes, the path changed from a path into a parking lot for these low-income apartment buildings, and there were dumpsters, but you had to walk through the parking lots in order to get back onto the rest of the trail. And there were people in the cars, and the windows were all, like, foggy because they're, you know, having sex. Because, you know, maybe that was what they did. They just had sex in their car next to these low-income apartment buildings because that was romantic. And, and eventually, near the end of that path to my work was the community college, the insane asylum, the ferry terminal, and then this big sprawling parking lot, which was, I guess, the terminus of the path. And from there, you could see sort of this billowing cloud of really thick black smoke from the oil refinery and the flame that would never go out. And it's just fond memories for me. I mean, this was my life. There was small kittens near the Coast Guard, and it seemed like the security guard was taking care of these small black kittens. Small black kittens all over the place, and yeah.
I used to drive past this place almost nightly, coming home from work, commuting, and I started to notice, well, I noticed most in the winter months because it was getting darker earlier, and I noticed that all the lights in my car would go off when I drove past this place, this parking garage. And at first, I didn't really pay attention to it. I didn't realize it was always happening in the same location, but when I picked up on it, I would sort of slow down, you know, try to get a sense of what I might be driving past that would be having this effect on my vehicle. I always saw these, you know, teenage boys with their cars, and these days, you know, they're souped up Chevy Cavaliers, they're Sunfires, you know, but they still invest, they still sink, you know, hundreds, thousands of dollars into these things as if it's gonna be their sweet ride forever, but they're just shitty cars. But I'd always see them pulling into this place. And after a couple of months of watching and experiencing my car's electronics misbehaving, I went in. I pulled up to the entrance. I took a ticket. The bar went up. I circled around the first floor, the second floor, the third floor, and it was all empty. All completely empty. Even though I'd seen these teenage boys in their Cavaliers driving in. I mean, was there another exit somewhere other than the top of the
they weren't driving off the roof of the car park, right? That there's nobody in there, man. It was totally empty. And seeing that, it really messed me up for a while. I started going to therapy, and I found that the best thing I can do is to just take a different route home after work.
A strange anomaly emerged in the last census. That one of my colleagues in the sociology department pointed out to me. That is that everybody who puts down that their job is a car park attendant is also a composer. And I looked into this, and it seems that all car park employees are also one form of composer. Classical, Latin jazz, improvised electronics, even pop composers, numerous Hollywood soundtrack composers work in parking garages as well.
Stories about it, but I don't believe it. I don't know if you'll believe it, but like there's these parking lots downwind from Research Section 7, that small kind of bunker-like apartment building that we've been doing our tests on the subjects that we've gotten from the Ukraine. Yeah, like, people downwind from that apartment complex, Research Section 7, have been reporting some pretty, like, odd stuff, just, like, screams in the night.
Car
people dying in their cars, just, like, a lot of break-ins in the cars. Cars left abandoned, children left in the cars. You'll have roaming dogs roaming the parking lot. We've heard even about some people that have literally beaten themselves into the parking lot. They were hitting, and this must just be some sort of sign of psychosis or some sort of chemical reaction, probably hallucinations. And yeah, you'd have other people that would be found on the scene and that would be just mumbling incoherently. You'd have sometimes people screaming, but they didn't seem like they were screaming because the police showed up to clean up the scene. No, they were just screaming. And no one took them away from the scene. They just left them there. But I mean, that's if you believe, you know, the rumors about that. I mean, like, who knows? I think they're capable of doing it intentionally.
In the car park, I'm offline. The car park, there's only one way in. There's a small hut, a sentry.
I could pull my batteries out of
a little wooden board keeping everyone safe. In the car park.
Yeah, like I said, I was more of a fringe observer, a researcher of the phenomenon of the car park, like I said, until I went in person. I didn't realize that, at the time, I didn't realize that you can't take a van to the car park. And you can't, you really can't take a truck into a car park, if you know what I mean. I found out the hard way, of course. I was meeting up with Altitude 96 underscore XOXO. And, well, I mean, I drove there in my van, in my Ford Windstar, my 1998 Ford Windstar van. would you believe it couldn't even make it past the threshold? I couldn't, like, there was something blocking it, something, like, pushing against it as I tried to drive. It was messed up, man. Like, you read about this stuff online, you read about these curses, these hexes, these forces, these people, you know, beating their hands into a pulp on the pavement. Cars going off leash is the code word for it. You read about stuff like that, but you don't realize that it's so unbelievably real until you get there. And this is some crazy, some like voodoo black magic stuff going on, like going down at the car park. So I turned around and I drove away. I got the hell out of there.
Just driving by, slowing down my car, turning up my radio. I saw this apartment for rent sign, and next thing I knew, I was in the apartment taking a viewing of the place, talking to the landlord, just saying, yeah, I can pay the security deposit. Yeah, I'm looking for this apartment. Two bedrooms, three bed, what, two, one bedroom, doesn't matter. I just, you know, I like the view. And they laugh at me and they're like, what view? The parking lot? And I'm like, no, not the parking lot. No, I like this part of town. So that got me frustrated. I knew I wasn't gonna get along very well with this landlord, but I don't really need money, and I didn't have any money at the time, of course, but I thought I could get a credit card. I thought I could borrow some money from my brother. Brother's got a good job, so I ended up living both at home and in my new apartment, and I kept the apartment a secret from Bernice. And Bernice found out about the apartment, and Bernice thought I was having an affair. And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't say I wasn't having an affair, and I would just sit in my apartment looking out the window. And she didn't believe me, so, you know, divorce court isn't that bad. Divorce court, you hear all kinds of horror stories about it, but really, you get in, everyone's tired, you get out. You know, I didn't have anything that she wanted. I didn't need the home anymore. I had my apartment. I didn't need a bed. And, you know, I'm just coming tonight because, I don't have a gambling addiction. Per se, but I've been running into a lot of problems with creditors, and I thought you guys might have some advice. And Really, I'm just trying to stay out of trouble. That's why I'm here. I just want to get my life back on track. Get my job going good again. Maybe find something on the side or something. And what time is it? Oh, all right. I got to get out of here. I'll see you guys next week. Okay, goodbye.
The car park, I have to restrain myself from lingering there. My car pipes pumping yellow smoke gently into the gravel. The car park is where I can finally breathe. Like I'm a balloon getting inflated and inflated until whoosh, I can breathe. A car park is just where I go every day. Anchors me to me. I belong to it in a sense. That's wrong. Don't listen to that. But when I'm away from it, I feel myself recollecting the smell, the sounds of the crumbling cars, doors shutting and screaming, pushing out the air, people's lungs collapsing, the signs of all practical life ending. Not aggressive to me. Waiting. That's always the case. They're always on me. On me! To give more and more of myself. But I'm not gonna take it anymore! There's nothing left! In the car park, I'm offline. I could pull my batteries out. They made it so hard, it feels like I'm trying to defuse a bomb. Once that's sorted, I'm no longer connected, and rather than feeling lonely, I feel... The car park, there's only one way in, there's only one way out. A little wooden board keeping everyone safe. A small hut, a sentry. I wonder what you would get if you added up all the time you spent here. How many time your car spends here. How funny it is when your car becomes part of you. How funny it is people become parts of you. The car park can become part of you.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, experimental radio from Nescat University. This episode was called Car Park. It was written and improvised by Mark Hines, Jessica McDonald, Raph McDonald, and David Clark. Sound design and mixing were by David Clark. For more episodes of Nothing to See Here, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud. Please like us on our Facebook page, Nothing to See Here Radio. And please join us next week for more of Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from Nescat University. Made for CKDU 88.1 FM
in Halifax.
Thank you. Thank you.